Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to the Gospel Pulpit for Saturday, January 31st, and Sunday, February 1. And we certainly appreciate being able to come back by way of radio again today and bring you the Gospel Pulpit. Well, we come into another month, and the Lord's really blessed us. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes, and I want to have your attention so that you understand what I'm presenting to the radio audience. I'm getting ready to make an announcement today, and we're also starting this on February 2nd on our daily broadcast. We are introducing a brand new project to the public called Reaching America with the Gospel. Reaching America with the Gospel. There are places in America where the gospel is not being preached very much. In the south of the United States, we've got churches on every corner. But if in our northeast and our midwest and even out west, we've got some good churches, but we don't have them on every corner like we do in the south. And what gospel broadcasting is wanting to do is to branch out. Now, not for my ego, and it's not about Ricky Cawthorn, it's about Jesus Christ. And I know that radio preachers come on the radio and TV preachers, and they're all the time talking about give and sow and reap and give this and give that. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. But what we have come up with, and we'd like to expand our ministry and strengthen our ministry. It'll help us even here to strengthen our ministry, and we'll be doing some things. So what we've come up with, if we can get 1,000 people across America, 1,000 listeners, or maybe your Sunday school class, or maybe your youth group or something or whatever, if we can get 1,000 people to say, "Preacher, we will support GBI $10 a month for the next 1 year." That's February through January next year. Or if you want to just write one check to $120 for that whole year's support, that'd be great. And we're going to take that and we're going to use it for the glory of God. And you're going to see the radio ministry expand. And then we'll try to keep you updated here on these programs about where we're going with new radio programs, all right? And so you help us pray about it. And if you'd like to become a supporter, here's the way you do it. You just write your check to GBI. Now, we're a tax-exempt ministry. We give you a receipt right back in the mail. Let me assure you that every dime you give goes to the work of the Lord. I want you to understand that. I'm not on the radio for your money. I want you to understand that. God will take care of me. Amen. He sure will. And I appreciate what the Lord does. So I'm trying to be real. I try to be honest. One fellow wrote me a letter. He said, "You're the most honest preacher I've ever heard." Well, I try to be honest. I don't have a fine home. I don't have a $1 million home. I've got two cars. One's got over $240,000 on it, and one's got $180,000 or $190,000 on it. And that's the way it is. Amen. But I want you to help us and pray for us in this hour that God would help us expand. I'm 59 years old. I've been saved 48 years. And I want to reach America with the gospel. So I'm hoping that 1,000 people across this country would say, "Hey, we're going to help." You write your check to GBI, then you mail it. Here's the mailing address, and they say it'll go this way. GBI, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. Or you can give online, GBIRadio.org, or you can call our offices Monday through Friday, and that's Eastern Time, 8 a.m. to, let's say, 4 p.m., 336-356-1560 or 336-372-5700. You can call our offices, and we take the debit and the credit card. So I hope you'll pray about that and pray about helping us. Now, let's go to our messages. Today, we begin, even in the life of David, a study of Psalm 11. So let's go to that message. Now we come to our 34th in this series on the life of David. Now today we're going to take a little bit of a different path. As you know, many times in this study, I have went off and studied the corresponding psalm. Now we ended with 1 Samuel 18, and now we're going to look at Psalms 11 and 12. Now there is not sometimes 100% knowledge of exactly when these Psalms were written. And some commentary writers believe one thing, some believe another. But I believe that these two Psalms were written probably when David was in Saul's court. And things are getting kind of rough for David. David, as you know, went to the palace after Goliath. And then Saul heard the women of the land singing, David hath slain his, or Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. That upset Saul. He didn't like that. And so then Saul began to be envious against David, and Saul tried to smite him to the wall with a javelin. You remember that. And now we come to the 11th psalm that David has written here while he is in Saul's court. But let me go back, if you want to get your Bible and go with me to Psalm 11. But let me read a verse in 1 Samuel, chapter number 19, verse number 1. And as we go through a lot of the life of David's in the book of 1 Samuel, but let me read this verse. And the Bible said, "And Saul spake to Jonathan his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David." Now, you know, evil kind of hides itself every once in a while. It progressively gets worse, and then finally it just comes out, and it don't matter who it hurts. And I think this is where Saul was. He just got so tired, so envious, so jealous of David, he's now wanting David dead. Well, I believe this is the setting of where the 11th and 12th Psalm were written. Father, will you take this study and use it for your glory in Jesus' name? Amen. Now, I begin reading now in the King James Bible in Psalm 11 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Now I want to continue reading in Psalm 11, and we're going to look at Psalm 11 and verse number 4. Psalm 11, verse number 4 says, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." Verse number 6 says, "Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." Now there's Psalm 11. We read the entire psalm now. What we'll do is we'll go back and we're going to look at some of the things in this psalm and hope that they will be a real blessing to you. Now let's just start again at verse number 1. Remember, David's in a mess here. David, physically, you'd think that. David's in a situation here. David's glory of killing Goliath is now gone, and David is now in the king's court, but the king is very displeased with him. So in Psalm 11, verse number 1, David said this, "In the Lord put I my trust." Now, what do we do in a wicked day? You know, we look around in our society today, and wickedness is on every corner. I'm going to say it again today, and I want to say it nice. I want to say it respectful. I want to do everything right. But I will say to you again today, our hope, it has to be for America in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that does not mean that you sit by and neglect your civic duties. Our nation was set up on a democracy for the people, by the people. And I believe this, every American citizen ought to go vote and do what's right in your country. And let me say this to you. I believe when you don't do that, I believe you are neglecting your responsibility as an American citizen. I believe that with all my heart. So now here's the deal. Yes, we should do that. We should do what's right. We should also pray for those that are in authority over us, kings and all that are in authority. But let me say this to you. My friend, our hope has got to come from God. And we must realize that there is a sovereign that is in control of our future, and it is not man. And our hope cannot be in a man or a movement or a political party Or if we could just get the right people in office. We cannot, that cannot be the hope of America. What's going to save America is God. Brother, I'll talk to you about it in the next verses, but we have evil gathered on every hand. And this is what it was in David's day. Not only was Saul seeking to kill him, but some of Saul's men, I believe, were wicked. I believe they were wicked men. You remember Doeg, the Edomite? And he occasioned the death of, I believe, 84 priests. And Saul had just backslid from God. I believe he was a saved man, but Saul committed murder. Saul finally allowed this envy and jealousy just to harden him, and he was a very rebellious man. And so he got out of the will of God. When a man gets out of the will of God, some tell him what he might do. And he's as weak and be as wicked as any lost man out there when he gets outside the will of God. So now here's David. And David said, "In the Lord put I my trust." Psalm 62:8 says, "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah." Now, friend, I had to, a few years ago, back in 2020, I'll be honest with you, I lost faith in our government system. I lost faith in the Supreme Court. I lost hope. You see, because I had my hope in the wrong place. And I remember getting in my backyard and crying and squalling. And God showed me some things during that period. God said, "Look, the answer is in me." And God showed me that what we need to be doing is turning to God. We see how bad things are in our nation. We see how reckless that some things are. And instead of turning to God, it seems that we're turning away from God. But every person in every church ought to turn to God. You ought to live for God. You ought to pray and read your Bible every day. You ought to try to do what you can for God to get people saved. You ought to get right with God. If there's anything in your heart that's not right, you ought to get right. Let's have a move of God. And that is a revival right there. Amen. Just have a move. But put your trust in the Lord and let God take care of it. Now, again, I think you ought to do your duty. I think you ought to do that God has given you. And we live in a great country of freedom. And if we're going to keep it that way, then I believe we're going to have to do what we need to do as far as voting and all that kind of thing. But let me say this to you. Again, our hope is in God. We've got to put our trust in God. When the man goes in for president that we don't think ought to be there, we got to realize, okay, that's still our president, but we have to trust the Lord. Amen. I believe that some things in the last few years, 4 years, have been conquered by prayer. I believe that. I believe that. Did you see when this crowd of liberals decided that they were going to do some things, they were going to change the way we did business in America forever. They had big plans. They were going to change this nation. But God did not allow that at this time. There is a sovereign on the throne, thank God. In the Lord put I my trust. We better be calling on the Lord. Preachers ought to encourage their people more than politicizing the people. And again, I've not got nothing wrong with people getting involved in the political process. I think you ought to. But I think churches ought to lean to God. I think we ought to get back to God like we did in World War II. Do you know why that we won World War II? I mean, Hitler was probably devil-possessed. There's no doubt about that. He probably had a demon and a devil possessing him. And Japan and Germany thought they'd take the world over at that time. Do you know why we won the war? Because there were some mamas over here in America begging God to send their boys home. We was praying. We was crying out to God. I believe during the Vietnam War, amen, that there was people praying. I believe that. I believe during the Gulf War, I believe that people were praying, amen. And listen, we've got to get back to getting a hold of God in these situations and realize, so where do we put our trust today? In God. You see, I can't put my trust in Washington today. They're going to fail me. Some people said our answer to life is the government. A lot of people have put their trust in the government. And here's the deal. Now, I've got nothing wrong with a man having a retirement. I want you to understand that. And if you work all your life, you deserve one. But I want to ask you a question. You put all your trust in the government. And if you take the jobs in America right now, half of them are government jobs. Now, you think about that. The biggest industries in America today is the healthcare industry and the government. Now, you think about that. People either working in healthcare or they're working in some kind of government form, whether it be education, whether it be transportation, whether it be, I mean, there's government jobs and then there's healthcare. And that's the two leading things in America right now. But here's what's going to happen. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. David had to live in a day when it was unpopular for him to be a Christian. David lived in Saul's court when it was not very popular at all. Now, but wait a minute. What did David do? He trusted the Lord. What would you do, you that are banking on a great retirement, if you get down to the end of it and the government jerks it out from under you? That has been done before. I want you to know that. You say, well, preacher, I'll go to court. Well, what makes you think the courts are going to stand up for you? Is your trust in the court? I mean, whatever you trust in could end up backfiring on you. You see what I'm saying to you today? I mean, friend, listen, what I'm trying to say to you is this. If you trust in God, He will never fail. Now, again, I'm not going out and saying it's wrong to have a retirement. It's wrong to have money. I'm not. And by the way, I'm not saying it's wrong to work in health care, because I thank God for health care people. They've been helping me a lot with my sickness and over the past few months, and I appreciate that, everybody. But let me say this to you. I didn't say it's wrong to work for the government. It's not wrong. But what I'm saying to you is, where's your trust? David put his trust in the Lord. Now, David was in, Samuel already anointed him king, but he couldn't tell anybody because Saul would kill him. So now God got him through providence up to the palace, and David thought, oh boy, this is going to be easy. This is going to be the way to go. This is it right here. Well, it didn't exactly work out that way. When he got up there, things got worse and worse, and now he's in trouble. Now look at verse number 1 again. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Now there were people in David's day that tried to get David to run from his problem. They said, David said, you better run and hide yourself. Amen. You better run and hide yourself. Now, I'm going to say something about that day. We as Christians and we as preachers ought not run and hide from the issues of our day. All right? I'm just going to say it. Homosexuality is a sin. Gambling's a sin. Cussing's a sin. Living together, not being married, is a sin. Sexual relations outside marriage is a sin. My friend, drinking is a sin. Dancing is a sin. Let's just put it down there where it is. Amen? And we should not be afraid as God's men. I am the man of God. That's what I am. And I was appointed that position by God, okay? No man gave me the man of God position. The men that ordained me to preach did not give me this position. God counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God has put me on these radio stations all across everywhere that I'm preaching on. It ain't Ricky, Catherine. Ricky has nothing to do with it. I find myself these days getting more frail and more frail while God exercises and exhibits Himself to be stronger and stronger, all right? And some would say, you better run, you better hide, you better not preach as much as you used to preach. But some were telling David, you better run. But David was faithful to stay where God had put him. Let me just say this to you. Don't let people scare you. Yes, it's unpopular, and I never thought that I'd ever see the day in my short lifetime, 57 years, I never thought I'd see the day when it'd be unpopular to be a Christian. But brother, we're living in that day. If you are a sports star, if you're in the world, you are well received more than a Christian today. Christianity is laughed at. Christianity is mocked at. The devil will take some preacher's failure in Christianity and make a mockery of that. And the contemporary church has made a mockery of God. They mock dressing right. They mock the Bible by not using the right Bible. They want to dress down. Well, you don't have to go by all those rules. You can do this. You can do that. Well, you need to read 1 Kings and how Jeroboam changed a whole nation with a contemporary movement, and it failed, and it cost many people to go to hell without God. All right? But let me just say to you today that it's no time to run. In David's day, they encouraged him to run. There's no time to run, friend. There's no time to back up. Amen, preachers. We shouldn't do it in an ugly way. God's not called us to be Elijah. But we should preach the word of God in truth. Isaiah said, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Shew my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. We are to point out sin. And any Bible college or any professor or any preacher that tell you not to preach on sin, you need to get away from that fella. He don't know what he's talking about. Let me tell you, the only thing that's going to help America is preaching against sin. Loving them. Now listen, I believe you ought to love people. Don't get me wrong. I do. I love people. Why else would I preach if I didn't love people? But a man that will tell you the truth, that's a man that will love you. A man that will preach against sin in the right spirit. I don't know where we ever come by the idea that we don't have to preach against any sin. My friend, people are not just going to know to live right. You got to tell people. You got to explain to them from the Word of God. And you can't run from your position. I know preachers that used to have position doctrinally, and they've run from that. They've changed from that. Well, the Bible said, I am the Lord, I change not. The Bible said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. One fella, I told a fella, I said, a certain issue, he was trying to argue me about it. He didn't agree with me. I said, sir, I'll change my mind on that. And he stopped. I said, when God does, amen. Or at least he was trying to discuss it with me anyway. But now, let's go on. And I want to show you this. Hebrews 13:5 says this. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, we need to get some of that in our soul. We need to get some of that in our heart today. Amen? That we're just not going to worry about what man says. Now, I want to say this. I believe you ought to follow the rules of the government. I believe you ought to follow the rules of the state. I believe you ought to follow the rules of the law enforcement. I never have any trouble out of any of those people. And I believe you ought to follow their rules until their rules conflict with the Bible. And when their rules conflict with the Bible, if it means jail, if it means prison, if it means persecution, I believe what it means. And by the way, I believe personally that we're coming to that day. I'll talk about that a little bit later as we get into this psalm. But here, David's talking about running. And David said, hey, and then in Hebrews, the Hebrew writer said, hey, we can boldly say the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. I've got the Holy Ghost with me. You say, preacher, somebody's going to kill you. They won't kill me 1 second before it's time for me to die. If they do kill me, that'll be God's way for me to die. You say, I just don't believe God will allow saints to die for him. Well, let me tell you something. He will. Amen. There's going to come a day. I believe there'll come a day in America. There's going to be some people dying for what they believe. I didn't believe that. I used to preach this. I used to say, the Lord don't want you to die for him. He wants you to live for him. But I'll be honest with you. We're coming down to the hour. I think some's going to have to die for the Lord. I really do. If we don't get a revival, if we don't get a move of God, if we don't quit this fake social media Christianity, and if we don't get a revival, if we don't get our hearts right in the church, and revival starts with you, sir. It ain't a bunch of shouting and jumping and a bunch of live coverage on social media. That ain't revival. I want you to understand that, amen? I mean, listen, that ain't revival. What is revival is we get back to God, and we can say the Lord's my helper, amen? Now, let me just go on here, and let me say this. Evil often likes to work in secret. Now, a lot of people, you know, they like to do things behind people's back, you know. But let me just read you from verse number 2. The Bible said, for lo, the wicked bend their bow and make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the righteous in heart. Now, or the upright in heart. Now the wicked, the bow is bent. And in America, they're sitting right there. Let me tell you what this crowd of people are doing. A lot of them are communists. I'm just going to tell you what they are. They're communists. You take that any way you want to. But communism is not dead. Communism did not die with the collapse of the Soviet Union. I want you to understand that. Communism is a crowd of people that do not believe in God. Or they tell you what they do believe in, but they don't tell you what they don't believe in. And America's got more communist in it than you think it does. And communism's always been the thing in this hour that has persecuted Christianity. And it's of the devil. It's of the devil. And so you see what's happening is there's a crowd right now that wants to take your freedoms away. And they're closer than you think in America. Now let me say something. The church will not go down. The local church will not go down. The Bible said, and I praise God for this verse in the Bible. The Bible said The Bible said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church will not go down. But let me say this to you. I believe there's going to come an hour in America. The bow is bent, and the arrow's on the string to privily shoot. They're privately chipping away at your freedoms. They'll take the freedom of the airwaves one day. I believe that they'll try their best to politicize the Bible. One fellow has already come out openly and said that Bible, and said it leaned to a certain political party. Well, it does not. The King James Bible does not lean to anything. It leans to morality and holiness. Amen. And it don't matter what party you're from or what political background you're from. Amen. If you're saved by the grace of God, God has called you to be holy. Amen. And so we're living in that day, though. And things are set now. And they're privately shooting, ready to shoot at the upright. Amen. They want to do their work in secret. They don't want anybody to know what they're doing. But progressively, that's why they call them progressives. They want to progress. Where are they progressing? Down the wrong road, you see. And there used to be a time when God was not removed from our schools, nor our courthouses. Now, and listen, just because the Supreme Court says that it's so, don't really make this, don't change the Bible any, okay? Supreme Court for years said abortion was legal. It does not change what the Bible says about abortion. Supreme Court don't change it. They can make a ruling about marriage, but it don't change what the Bible says. Amen. You can't change God's word, my friend. And so the wicked's here. The day of persecution is here. I promise you, the day of persecution is here. The question is, what will we do? What will we do in America? Now, Saul's day, David said, man, he said, the wicked said, they bend the bow. He said, their arrows on the string. There were people that were ready to kill David. David told Jonathan later, he said, there is but a step between me and death. Amen. I mean, friend, he realized it. That Saul, if he could have got a hold of me, he would have killed him. But God protected David. God protected David. By the way, I believe God protects us. You remember when Babylon took over Judah and Judah fell? Do you know that Jeremiah could have went to Babylon and he didn't want to go? For some reason, he didn't want to go. He should have probably went. And he ended up being kidnapped and died in Egypt. But he should have went on to Babylon with him. And the king of Babylon wasn't going to hurt Jeremiah. I believe this, some men will die for the faith. I believe some will escape. But I believe that there's going to be some hard times coming. And I tell you what's getting ready to happen in our churches. It's going to separate the men from the boys and the women from the girls. Amen. There's going to be a day when we're going to figure out that these modernistic preachers that are sowing deceit and discord, they call themselves preachers, they won't even be around when persecution starts. When persecution starts, the contemporary church will fold up and run. It'll be gone. And the true believers will stand for God, and they're going to face some wicked. But we got some comfort in this psalm. All of it's not bad. I want you to know it. I want to read verse 2 again. The Bible said, "For lo," I'm in Psalm 11, verse number 2. "For lo, the wicked bend their bow." David said, "Man, now they're all around me. They bend their bow. They make ready their arrow. Boy, they're ready upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." Boy, I mean, they're waiting on their opportunity. They're going to try their best to do it in secret where people don't know about it. You know, a lot of laws get passed in secret. Did you know that? Did you know that a United States representative made the statement back in 2010 when they were trying to pass the health care, which I think's the worst law that has ever been passed in America, dealing with health and all of that? And they made a statement up there on the floor of the United States House, said, "Let's pass it so we can read it." That don't make no sense. Let me tell you something, brother. There's all kind of laws being passed. I mean, you know what it is? They want to work in secret. They don't want anybody to know what they're doing. But let me say this to you. I'm not preaching political. I'm preaching God's word. And God says that the wicked work in secret. Amen. And a lot of things are on the, getting ready, trying to be passed, and that the public don't know about. And when you got to be careful sometimes. You got to learn things. That's why I on my prayer list, I like to take, and I hadn't been, to be honest with you, I have one list that I pray for America. Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Saturday, Sunday, February 1, and we certainly appreciate you for listening. And you've been listening to a message. This is Psalm 11, verses 1 through 4 that we're covering this week and next week here on the broadcast. So I hope you'll join us again next week. And until our next broadcast, I'm Brother Ricky saying goodbye. God bless you, and thank you so much for listening. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.